Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back to 12 After the Hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Mick Fleming's here, too. Mick is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, one of my good friends, the president and the CEO of the American Chamber of Commerce Executives, ACCE.org is their website, and he's our good friend. Mick Fleming, welcome back to the show.
Jim, good to be here, man. Good to be here.
Good to have you back, and thank you for joining me. Thank you for taking some time. I know you got a lot going on these days. The American Chamber of Commerce Executives is an organization that's focused on helping chamber professionals, right? These are people. I am one of the owners of my chamber as a local business person, but I don't run that chamber every day. We hire professionals to run the chamber, and those are the people that you represent, aren't they?
That's the folks we take care of and try to help increase their personal and organizational capacity. That's the whole deal, trying to get them to be that the sum is greater than the parts. We want to make sure that all these folks who work together with their volunteer leaders and other resources in the community, that they're the best they can be and take advantage of everything they can take advantage of and get smarter, learn from each other, learn from professionals and the best and practitioners and academics, and get the best they can be.
And we're going to talk about that in more detail in the next segment. I'm going to have Mick talk to us about what's going on at their convention and why you should care as a small business owner. But before we do that, Mick, I want you to give us a sort of a state of the chamber report, if you don't mind. My audience knows that I am an unabashed, unapologetic champion of chambers of commerce. I've been a member of my chamber since the 70s, nonstop. I believe in chambers. I tell my audience that they you know, if they're not a member of their chamber, I want to know why. And of course, Mick, you know that I put my money where my mouth is when it comes to that. But I would like for you to give the audience a little bit of in this day and time, and here we are in the second decade of the 21st century, how are chambers doing?
Well, for the most part, they're doing pretty well. I think the challenge has been, in some cases, obviously the economic challenges that came down during the downturn hit some communities harder than others. It was kind of surprising that sometimes the chambers that were in the most kind of damaged economies didn't necessarily suffer the most. I think in some ways there was a recognition that they were more needed than ever in communities that were suffering with economic downturn. But since the recovery has started, even though it's not exactly a strong recovery, and there's a lot of arguments about whether it's jobless and all those kinds of issues, but still, I think for the most part, the economic activity in communities has grown, and the chambers have started to feel like there's a little bit more settled ground under them and momentum on there as they try to make their communities thrive. And that's their role. I mean, that's their job is to, I say they've got two jobs, the profitability of their members today and the prosperity of their communities tomorrow. And those two jobs obviously go together, but they're a little bit different. There's a little bit more focus, obviously, on the collective good in the second one. But the chambers have to also focus on making business, especially small business, successful. And this is not just a lot of times there's an assumption that some of the small business focus, and I'm sure you face this too, that the small business focus is all about retail. And certainly that's the public face of small business that many of your members might see, or as consumers they certainly see. But there's also all these small companies, the paving companies and the logistics companies and the food brokers and all these companies that are not big. They just pound out the work and the investment and the jobs every day. And the chambers have to help all of them in every industry and kind of feel the nature of their community to see which ones need the most help and which ones can produce the most prosperity for the community. So they've got a lot to do. Their resources are drawn from many sources. Most people think that membership is the biggest thing, and the smaller the community, the more likely it is that membership is the driving force, that dues are the driving force of the organization.
As many members as they can get. One of the things that that I have said that I've is, and this is just an observation over the years, I've learned this, that the uniqueness of the local Chamber of Commerce is that it has an ability because of the way it comes together as with stakeholders. It has the ability to connect straight lines between every sector, every demographic, every constituency, every discipline, every profession in a marketplace: politics, arts, sports, education, higher education, commercial, manufacturing, retail, etc. It has the ability, because all those people are invited to be members of chambers, and there's not another entity in a community like that, Mick.
No, they sit in a sweet spot. I mean, I'd say there's the 2 degrees of separation. They are 2 degrees of separation for anybody who connects to them. And that goes from the highest of a congressional or Senate seat trying to reach out to somebody like that or somebody in a government role, or for government to reach down into the business community and need to get an answer on how some regulation is going to make a difference. And so there are 2 degrees of separation. They are the connector. But the other thing is they sit in that sweet spot, you know, that nobody else gets to sit in between regular folks and business folks and
right.
and government folks. And sitting in that middle of that triangle, there's nobody else there. And that's the cool place to be, and obviously the cool place to try to make a difference in a community. Over weeks of sometimes emergency activities, when something from a disaster, natural disaster to a business closure, or to long-term change and trying to fix education or trying to fix transportation infrastructure. These guys are working on all those issues because those are the things that make sense for their economy.
Right, absolutely. Well, how many chambers of commerce are there across America?
Oh, that's a great question. It's kind of hard to answer sometimes. We guess that there's about 3,500 that are staffed. There's probably another 2,000 or 3,000 that are not. So it's thousands of chambers. For ACCE's purposes, though, we kind of think that there are about 2,000 to 3,000 that are staffed with a professional of some kind.
Right.
In some cases, a small town, it might be a secretary handing out maps.
Right.
And so that would be 150 staff people.
The average membership is probably 500, 600, 700 members. Folks, and let me leave you with this last thought. A chamber of commerce is owned by the local stakeholders. It is not part of the government. 20 after, right back with Mick Fleming. He's with ACCE. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.